You're listening to Spooks, Creeps, and Assorted Devery. I hope you enjoyed the show.
Hi, everybody. This is Tanya, and this is Creeps with Peeps, and I have Jack LaFountain with me tonight. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
Good, good. You are an author. And you were also, well, you're a minister. You just don't have a church right now, but you are a minister.
Yeah. I still hold a minister's license. Yes.
Okay. All right. So what got you into the paranormal? We'll start there.
Well, I started out very young. I mean, I grew up on the Universal monsters, you know, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, Dracula. Saw all those movies. I can remember walking to the theater, spending Saturday afternoon at the theater watching the Edgar Allan Poe stories that Vincent Price starred in. Watched all of those and loved those. I've kind of been hooked. And I read Poe from as early as I can remember. I'd have a dictionary sitting next to me to look up the word because his vocabulary was just way beyond anything I could imagine. But I've always read and, you know, watched, been interested in monsters. I've kind of always went with that. It became part of my stories. When I started writing, I wanted to write ghost stories. I wanted to write, you know, monster stories.
Yeah. I've read one of your books. I've gotten another one of them, but I haven't read it yet. About the sheriff in Louisiana.
Right.
About the Rougarou.
The Rougarou, yeah.
Yeah.
That one is the biggest selling book I've got, and people are really kind of got me going with that. Actually, the very first book that I wrote to be published was a Western, but it was Cowboys and Indians and Werewolves. I love werewolves. So.
Oh, wow. Neat.
So that was
what's
the
name
very
of
first
that
book.
one?
It's called Death Rides the Red River.
Okay.
And it's about a fellow that fought in the war between the states. He was from Atlanta, and of course Atlanta was burnt to the ground. So instead of going back home, he ends up in Texas, and there was a short story that I wrote before that about a Civil War battle in which there were two, one Union, one Confederate outfits that were werewolves.
Oh, okay.
They were designed
Neat.
to terrorize the other side, and one day they met in battle. Anyways, that was kind of where this book sprang from. And
Right.
so he goes back to Texas, but the werewolves from the Civil War follow him back there, and he has to deal with them.
Oh, okay. Well, that's neat. I'm gonna have to get those because, like I said, I've read this first one of this series, and I started. I actually don't have the books. I got them on Audible.
Oh,
So
right.
I'm listening to them. Do you know the person that's reading them?
yeah, that's Cam Buckner. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. He
yeah,
has
he
a
does a
very
podcast
Louisiana
called
accent.
Dixie Cryptid.
Oh, okay. Neat. Yeah, he
He
has a
is, if I remember right, he is from Memphis, and now he lives in Mississippi.
Okay. I knew he had a southern type accent.
I enjoyed listening to his podcast too.
Yeah, I'll have to listen to that because I hadn't
and he
listened to
started
that.
writing his own stories.
Oh, neat, neat.
He's got his own series of stories now that he's doing. So, yeah, they're very interesting.
Okay. Good. I'll have to look those up as well. Okay, so you have a supernatural story too that happened with you.
I do have some personal experiences. I guess the most dramatic one took place in 1987, 1988. I'm not sure right where those two meet somewhere. I was called to become the interim pastor at a church in Ardmore, Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
And I went to the church, and we kind of got a tour from the pastors that were there that were getting ready to leave, who were also personal friends. But in a tour, we went on a tour through the church, just a walk through, the church. And it was like, wow, do you feel that? My wife and I, do you feel that? There's something here. And not really knew what, talked with them. Yeah, we know that people feel that, but it's been here as long as we've been here, and really not too much done about it.
Yeah.
We did take the church, and it just was, like I said, there was just this presence. We actually lived on the back of the church. We had an apartment on the back of the church. It was sort of a shotgun building, just a straight building.
Okay.
You entered on the south end. You entered the sanctuary. If you went through that, then there were some classrooms in the pastor's office, and then behind that was what was called the fellowship hall and a kitchen where they had church dinners and things. And then beyond that was the apartment that we lived in,
Okay.
and it. The feeling that people got, and it was more than just us, just about anybody that went in there, when they went into that fellowship hall kitchen, they just got the strangest feeling.
A bad
And
feeling
a
or just
bad,
a
it was kind of a bad feeling. More at the beginning when we moved there, it was kind of like the, you could feel something there, and just like you were being watched.
Okay.
And so, that kind of stuck with us. But as we were there, over time, that feeling kind of changed, and it went from feeling of being watched to a feeling of not only being watched, but sort of a menacing kind of presence watching you. The freezer that we used for, our food was in that fellowship hall kitchen. We had a refrigerator in our apartment, but
Oh,
the
okay.
freezer was out there. So occasionally we would send the kids out there, and it wasn't long after we were there, they absolutely refused to go into the room alone.
Oh,
Uh,
wow.
they 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 would they would not go into the room alone. And then one day, my daughter was in the sanctuary playing the piano, and it was the middle of summer, and as she was playing, the heaters in the building kicked on.
Oh, wow.
And it got, she kind of, didn't think anything about it. She kept playing, and it just got stifling hot in there. Of course, the Oklahoma summertimes are,
Oh, yeah.
triple digits anyways. And so then the heaters are running, and finally she couldn't take it. And she was thinking about, getting out of there when the door to this room swung open by itself. And then this feeling just kind of hit her. She ran out the front doors, went around the building to the apartment, and went in rather than walk back through there.
Right.
And after that, the kids and my wife absolutely refused to go into that room.
Oh,
And
wow.
the bad thing about it was to get from the apartment to the light switch in that room, you had to walk across the room to get to the light switch.
Oh, I hate that.
And so that became my job for a while, to walk in the dark and walk across there and turn the lights on.
Yeah.
It just kind of got worse and worse over time, until they just wouldn't go in there. Occasionally they would walk around the building to go into the church rather than walk through. But usually most people were okay, in a crowd. I guess, it helped feel safe,
Right.
being in the crowd there. It was my practice during sometime during the week. I would usually go into the sanctuary to pray. I would come out of my
Yeah.
office, go into the sanctuary, and that's where I would pray. And I have a Pentecostal background, so I tended to get loud sometimes when I was in there, when I would be in there praying. And I don't really know what triggered this, because it never happened before, or at least nobody said anything about it. But I was in there praying, and I felt this presence. I felt being watched and very menacing. I turned and I looked towards the door that my daughter had seen open by itself. But rather than through the door, I mean, the door opening, this thing just came through the
Oh
door.
gosh.
And I tell people, well, what did it look like? What did it look like? And I said, well, if you've ever watched the movie Ghost, and you see the black kind of misty kind of things that come and drag the bad people off,
Yes.
well, that's what it looked like at first.
Oh gosh.
It looked exactly like it was just this black mist that came through, sort of a rounded shape, but really no definition to it. But as I stood there watching it, it began to take on a definition and take on a sort of human-looking form, where a face would be, the color kind of changed from black to sort of a flesh color. No face actually formed, and I don't know what it was about me. I wasn't afraid, which was strange. I probably was more afraid later. It was like,
Have you thought about
wow,
it?
but in the moment, I really wasn't afraid of it. I actually felt kind of revved up and, felt strong. And this thing kind of moved, started moving just a little bit closer, a little bit closer. And, I commanded it to leave. And when I after I said the words, I felt a wind go by me. The thing vanished. I felt a wind go by me, and the double doors on the back of the church behind me sounded like a truck hit them.
Oh, wow.
They just shook in the, the frames. And it was like, oh wow. I said afterwards, then it was, what just happened? What, kind of what?
After you had a
I mean,
chance to think about it.
I knew what it was, and I didn't say anything to anybody about that. I just kind of went on about my business that day, and a couple of days went by. And one day my wife asked me, is it gone? And I knew what she was talking about. I said, I think so, but I'm still kind of feeling like, I don't know. Is it gone? Is it not gone? But about 2 weeks later, the same thing happened again. Basically, almost the exact same scenario. This
Oh,
thing
wow.
came out through the wall of this room, into there. And again, the same thing. I've kind of felt the same way and commanded it to leave. It was gone. And really, after that, I actually went and told her, said, okay, now everything's gone.
Oh, wow.
And it was, yeah, and every, people that came in there, they felt the difference. The kids went back into the room after that. They were kind of hesitant, but they did it. And, after a couple of times, it was like, oh, maybe this is okay now. And actually, the church began to grow after that. But I wasn't there a whole lot longer after that, and we moved to another town. Pastor that moved in behind us, and I don't know what happened, because I never really actually spoke with him. But there is a biblical scripture, Jesus speaking, that when a demon is cast out, the tendency is for them to go back and check the person. He's talking about people rather than places. Go back and check that person, and if they're open, then he gets seven demons more wicked than himself, and they take up their residence there.
I think I, yeah, okay. I've heard that.
And I was like, the church sold the building. When that pastor didn't stay long, he left. They sold the building and built a new church across town from there. The church building actually became a medical supply store. Or medical supply service. I don't know that they actually had a store. They, did deliveries out of there. And I was back a few times, and I really wanted to stop in and ask what they thought about the room, but I never really got a chance to do that. But
Did you like maybe look up the history or anything of that building?
I did find out from some previous pastors that they had a lot of strange things kind of happen and go on there. And I don't know how much that might have attributed to it, but I've been to a couple other churches, and if you want to if you want to find some spirits, churches are wonderful places to go to, unfortunately. But I mean, that's not the I had another encounter at a church where I was at, and I was just I worked night shift as a nurse,
Oh,
and
okay.
then I did my pastoral duties during the day. But anyway, they I happened to be in the church one day, and I was tired, so I laid down in one of the pews to take a nap, and I woke up, and there was something over me, not necessarily that's visible to the eye, but certainly a presence. You could feel it, like somebody breathing in my face. And again, this is very malicious type of feeling. And when I sat up, it moved away, and I kind of went hunting for it through the church and never did find it or
Oh gosh.
have any encounter with it.
Do you think that it was just a ghost, or do you think it was, I mean, do you believe in ghosts?
I do. I kind of qualify with that as what I did. I worked with a group that they wanted to start ghost hunting,
Oh.
and I don't, okay, great. Yeah, that sounds like a, sounds like a good thing to do. I said, just not all of them that you see are going to be ghosts, so
Yeah.
you have to be careful in that regard. But yeah, I mean, I worked as a nurse, and just about every hospital that I was ever at, and I was a travel nurse, so I moved around about every 13 weeks or so.
Oh, okay.
And just about every hospital that I went has a resident ghost.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's lots of death there.
Oh yeah, I've got a couple of short stories with. I worked in one hospital in Oklahoma, and they had a ghost doctor.
Oh.
In the early days, when just after the hospital was built, there was this young guy. He was he came, and he was one of the doctors, a small little small town in Oklahoma. And evidently what happened to him was that he somehow got into some DDT or insecticide or something that was
Oh,
absorbed
gosh.
through his skin, and
Yeah.
ended up the ambulance brought him into the hospital, and he died in the emergency room there.
Oh, no.
And nurses and the aides and people that work there still say they see him.
Yeah.
One told me, saw, you know, I said he saw sort of a face, I mean a head, but they couldn't make out, but saw this white coat, but there were no legs on the white coat that drifted
Oh,
across the hall. I actually did have, and I tell you, I sort of had an encounter, I think, with this doctor. I was where I worked midnight shift, so it was, 1 or 2 in the morning, and I was making I would make rounds of the ward,
yeah.
and I walked down one side of the hallway and checking on people that were there, and I turned around, head back to the nurse station, started down the other side of the hall. The very first room I came to, the IV pump was off. And
Yeah.
I thought, okay, one of the LPNs, one of the aides turned it off. They were moving their patient around, and they forgot to turn it back on. I turned it on. I went to the next room, same thing, IV pumps off. I went through about 5 rooms coming down the hall, and the IV pumps were off in every single room.
Oh, wow.
And of course, when I got to the desk, I'm kind of upset. It's like, who the hell's turning off all that? And everybody
Right,
was, not me, I swear it wasn't me. I didn't do it. And then finally
exactly.
somebody said, it was probably Dr. Johnson. I said, well, okay,
Oh gosh.
maybe. But, because no, they were serious. Yeah, and I believed them. No,
Yeah.
nobody had turned them off and forgot to turn them back on. They were just all off. And it wasn't that they were unplugged or anything. If the switch was off.
Yeah. And
Yeah,
that's
well,
a
it's
lot
kind
of
of,
them just to forget.
Yeah, that's way too many to forget. You might one, or maybe even two, but yeah, not the whole side. And it was just one side of the building. The other
Oh,
side of the
wow.
building, the other side of the hallway, same hallway, no problems. So yeah, that's.
Wow, that's neat.
So
Did you
yeah,
have
I've
any
been in.
other?
I've had a few encounters. I was with one a lady one time who claimed who well I'll say who claimed, but I'll qualify that in a bit, that there was a demon bothering her
Oh.
at her house. And I happened to be there and said, "It's right outside that window."
She
And you
said
know, I
that or
kind
you
of
said that? She said
she said
that?
that.
Oh,
She said
gosh.
that. And I looked, and there was something there. And this wasn't, you know, just like the mist. In fact, I have a book out. It's called Krampus Knock.
Oh,
And
yeah. I
is
love
a
Krampus.
picture that I have of Krampus on the cover of that book looked like what I saw outside that
Oh, my
window.
gosh.
And she said, "Make it go away, make it go away." You know? And I don't, you know, just in the moment, the guidance, the moment, I said, "I can't make it go away.
Right.
You make it go away. You tell it to leave, and you know I'll be with you. But you have to be the one to tell it to leave."
Right.
And she did, told it to leave, and it was gone. Yeah, I mean, I haven't had an encounter of that kind in quite a while, but yeah, that's happened.
Yeah, if I saw
And.
Krampus, I would have a fit, I think, because that would be he's
I
kind
mean,
of
it's just
scary.
this is hairy form with horns. I didn't really see the face, but mostly just the
Yeah.
out, but definitely covered with hair. Had these big horns that wrapped around it. Yeah, a
Oh,
lot like the
wow.
picture on there. I've never seen anything like that again, but
Yeah.
so.
So you said you wrote a book about it, about Krampus, Krampus Knocked?
I have the Ed Landry, the sheriff in the book that you read.
Yeah.
When I first started writing, I on the script they had a contest of Christmas ghost stories,
Oh, okay.
and I entered a few times, and you know I won some, but I just kind of got in the habit. Every Christmas, I write Christmas ghost stories or spook. I call them creepy Christmas stories. So this last year for Christmas, I wrote a story in which Ed Landry encounters Krampus.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, that's what was behind that book. And then some of the stories in that book, one for sure is a fellow is one a fellow told me that was handed down from his grandmother. Of course, he's 85
Oh, wow.
so this is from like the Depression era,
Yeah.
and yeah, some strange happenings there. A fellow who was traveling around the country with a horse and wagon, trying to sell some things and
Oh,
make it
yeah.
back. Stopped at the house where his grandmother lived, trying to sell him something, and they didn't. Of course, they didn't have any money.
Yeah.
Not many people did, but they pointed him down the road, said there's a big house down the road. Those people might have some money.
Yeah.
They might buy something from you. So he got in his wagon, he rode down the road to this saw this house from the dirt road that he was traveling down. He looked at the house, a big nice two-story house painted white. There was smoke coming out of the chimney. He could see the curtains in the windows, and actually in the what he thought might be the kitchen, saw a woman walk across in front of the window carrying something
Oh,
big like a turkey or ham or something.
yeah.
He rode down the driveway to this house, and when he pulled up at the house was a wreck. It hadn't been lived in years. There, the paint was gone. The wood on the exterior was, that gray weathered looking wood.
Yeah.
There were rags hanging in the windows. When he was there, he got this really creepy feeling like, oh no. He turned his wagon around and drove off.
Yeah.
But when he got back on the road, headed back to the place he'd just come from, he looked back and the house was back as it was when he first saw it. It was painted. There was smoke from
That's
the chimney. There
weird.
was all of that there, and and of course, I added a little bit to the story. I actually had him go in the house
Oh, Nate.
and added a little bit to the story, but
Right.
basically kept the story as I got it. But
Yeah. Nate. Yeah, my dad used to tell me stories that his like grandma and grandpa had told him, and it was from a long time ago because my dad was born, I guess, in the 20s, 28 or something. Either my mom and dad are both passed now, but there was stories like that of just ghosts. You'd see them walking through the house or something, you know, not doing anything. It was kind of just like they were had always done that, so they were going to stay there and do that. And
Yeah.
so I've seen some stuff, but I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I actually got some video about, I guess it's been about 3 weeks ago. Somebody showed me a video and said, "What do you think of this?" And there's these orbs in this on this video, told me before, and I'm not really big on orbs. They could, a lot of times they could be anything.
They could
And
be
so show me,
dust.
yeah, she showed me this video and started playing it. And this huge, it wasn't bright like an orb. It was definitely something there. It was sort of a cloudy gray,
Oh,
but it was big and it moved slowly across the thing. Her camera, sometimes when in the pictures, it will report motion detected. But when this thing went across the screen, the camera said "person detected," and
Oh, that's weird.
she asked me, "What do you think this is?" And I said, "Wow, I don't know. I've never seen anything like that."
Oh,
And
wow.
I sent it to one of my friends who does more study in that kind of thing than I do, and I don't know, but that's great. That's a great video.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I've
So.
seen some cool videos that I can't explain. Some of them are easy to explain, some of them are fake. But
Yeah.
some of them are really neat. You're like, I'm not sure what that
Yeah.
was.
Yeah, that's kind of the way this one was. And it's like one person said, "Well, maybe it's a bug crawling on the lens of the camera."
yeah.
My thought to that was, why is it sort of translucent? Why isn't it solid?
Right. Because a
Because it
bug would be
wasn't solid. It
solid.
was sort of a foggy figure that went across. And so
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he's wrong. That's not what it was, but that's my objection to it. It's like, yeah. And she, I was talking with her later about it. Said, "Well, she's had spiders get on it, but you can see the legs.
Yeah.
You can see the spider's legs. You can see the body's a lot more solid. You can see the legs to it. This one, nothing like that.
Was
I
it
don't
a
know.
ring video? It was a like a
A
ring or a
ring, right?
doorbell.
Yeah. Yeah, ring. Yeah.
I've seen some really neat ring videos.
They keep it on their back porch because they get all kinds of critters that visit their back porch. So you just kind of
Yeah.
keep an eye on what's going on. But yeah, I was amazed. I'd never seen one actually say that there's a person detected there.
Right.
But,
Is
so.
there, did you have you had any other experiences?
No, probably not much. I did have an encounter one time, in which I was talking with a fellow. I was actually in the time at the time I was stationed overseas, during the time that Vietnam was going on. I wasn't in
Oh,
Vietnam.
okay.
I was in the Philippines,
Oh, okay.
but being away from home, and I was kind of super depressed that day, and I went out for a walk. And the base there is huge, so I walked like a couple miles to go to the store on base, and I bought a couple of things, and I started home, and I was out walking in this area, and the buildings were set back probably 200 or 300 yards from the road, nothing but lawn between the road, the sidewalk, and these buildings. There's
Okay.
No jungle there. There's jungle all around out in
Oh,
Yellowstone,
yeah.
but no, there's no jungle there. It's cleared for a long ways. And this fellow walked up behind. He came from behind me, and he walked up, walked alongside me. And I don't even remember what we talked about. What we talked for a little bit, and then we came to where there was a sidewalk that went off to the right. And he said, "I've got to go this way." Oh, okay. Well, it's been great talking to you. I went about two steps maybe, and I thought of something that I wanted to say, and I turned around to talk to him. He was gone.
Oh gosh.
I mean, gone, gone. There was, like I said, big wide open area. There's nobody there.
Right.
Nobody could
Nobody
have,
could.
the fastest track star ever could not have covered that ground. This
Right.
guy was, just gone.
Oh gosh.
People say, "Well, what do you think it was?" Personally, I think it was an angel, because I went away from the experience feeling great.
Oh, and it might have not known you were depressed from
Yeah.
being away from home and stuff. Yeah. Now, Filipino people believe in ghosts big time. They
Oh yeah.
believe they live in their trees and all that stuff. And so that's pretty interesting. And I've read some stories. I really like, I don't know if you've heard of yokai, what yokai are. They're Japanese spirits, all the things you see about the weird Japanese spirits and stuff. Those are yokai, which isn't the same as the Philippines, but I was talking to this girl about those, and she said that they have stuff like that in the Philippines and was telling me some about some of it. And
Oh
so, yeah, that was really interesting.
yeah. I spent a lot of time working as a nurse on the Apache Reservation,
Oh.
the Hopi Reservation, and some of the Colorado River Reservation. The Hopis are very much believed that, they have the Katinas that come out of the San Francisco Mountains to the reservation. They, And it's a big deal still even today.
Yeah.
Of course,
Did you? Oh, go
the
ahead.
Navajos have their skinwalkers,
Yes, I was
and
about to ask about that.
I did talk with one Navajo, sort of talked to them about that. And basically, the story I got was, well, we don't really talk to white people about that.
Yeah. It's like very,
In fact, they don't talk about it to each other about that.
yeah. Because it's very scary, and I think that talking about it kind of calls it into being, maybe.
That's the idea. In fact, in the in Bayou Moon, that's with it. That's something that's with the Rougarou story,
Yeah.
is that you don't mention the Rougarou, you don't tell
Yes,
who it
nobody would
is.
mention it.
Yeah, you don't say anything about it.
Right.
And
That's how a lot of stuff like that is. And I guess it just kept people from, talking about it, scaring themselves or something, where that came from, maybe. But did you, I'm not sure what tribe the Wendigo is, a big lore, but did you ever talk to any tribes about Wendigos?
no, I didn't. I actually read a book that was written by a fellow who has Cree background, which they're
Oh, okay.
from Canada, First Nations in Canada, and talked about the Wendigo. Their belief is not so much that the Wendigo is a physical entity on its own, but it's more a spirit that
That
turns
makes
people
sense.
to cannibalism. The fella in the story, his aunt, this is, of course, it fiction story, but it's fiction kind of sort of dramatized real stuff.
Right.
His aunt was sort of like a medicine woman. Her one of the things she did was she was the Wendigo Slayer.
Oh.
And what her job, reading from what I read in the book, what her job was to bring out the truth about, I ate people, the whole spiritual thing, and sort of along the lines of exorcism.
I
But
would say it's
not
kind of
only
like that,
them, they
yeah.
not only just exercised that spirit, but the person who it was in was put to death.
Yeah, because that was just not you. Yeah, because I think you're just kind of a husk once you turn into that. I think you're pretty much just a husk of a person after that.
That's kind of what their thinking was, and so they killed him. Not only, well, for that reason, and so that it didn't spread through the tribe.
Yeah, that makes sense. We reviewed on our podcast, we have a segment where we review movies, and we reviewed a movie called Wendigo. It was just recently out, and it's a good movie. You should watch it. It's a
Oh
horror
yeah,
movie, but
I'll
it's
have
a
to
good
look out.
movie. Yeah.
Yeah, keep a lookout for that one then.
Yeah, it's really good. I think it's not Netflix, but Hulu might have made it. Somebody made it. It wasn't like released to the
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like a movie, big movie release, but it's a good movie. And if you
Oh,
want to
yes.
look up the review, although you might not want to watch it or listen to it just because Walter and I haven't got the cleanest of mouths.
Well,
So,
no, that's,
if that
yeah, well, I
offends
understand
you.
that. Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, sounds interesting. I
Yeah,
like
it.
I do like to watch it. Somebody asked me one time what I think about modern horror movies. I said, well, I've watched 5 or 10 minutes of a lot of them.
Yeah, some of them aren't worth watching the rest of the way
Yeah,
through.
some of them are not, some of them don't get that far. I have seen some good ones though.
Yeah, there is some good ones, and that Wendigo was definitely that was a good one. So yeah, you should watch that one. That's my personal recommendation.
Yeah.
I think we gave it 5 stars out of
All right.
five. I think so. Yeah. So.
A lot of mine, what people call horror, yeah. To me, the slasher movies are not horror.
No.
They're just gore.
Yes, they're just gory. They're not scary. This.
I really go for like the psychological thrillers,
Yeah.
spooky
Yeah.
movies.
Stuff like scary monsters, like people getting the ones that scare me the most are the ones where people get possessed or something. Those are just the scariest ones to me. Those are creepy. So let's see. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Well, just my newest book out in the Ed Landry series is called Lover's Moon.
Okay.
It just came out on audio about a week ago,
Okay.
but it's been out on print. A lot of people had questions after the third book. I got a lot of people, and it amazes me because to me, Ed Landry is my invisible friend,
Oh,
and
I can see
we
that
do
though.
sit around
Yeah.
and talk, and visit. But other people, when other people started doing it was like, I can't. This is amazing. When people wrote me that we're concerned about Ed, because he never seems to get the girl.
Yeah. I know, I was sad after the first one that he didn't get the girl that worked at the library.
And that kind of goes on through the next couple of books. But it's like, Ed never gets the girl. We're concerned about his love life. So that Lover's Moon Lover's Moon was sort of the answer to that, although I did get a note the other day from Cam, who does the audiobooks. Like, we're going to have a talk about you killing off all my favorite female characters. And yeah, so, but Ed does finally find love in Lover's Moon.
Good.
As I said, he was never very good at love. And he's not good at geometry either because he's in a love triangle, and
Oh gosh, yeah, that's
it's not
not
supposed to
good.
work that way.
No, that's not good. No. But I do like him as a character. He's a neat character. I like him. That's it's I like when you can not so much identify, but you would like to go like to lunch with somebody like that, or he just seems like a neat character. So yeah, I really enjoyed that book. So I have to get the rest of them in the series.
Yeah, my editor got a little put out with me when I was writing Voodoo Moon. I tell her, the characters talk to me.
Yeah.
When I go into a book, I don't have an outline for the book.
Oh, wow.
I have an idea. In my like Bayou Moon, that first chapter where where the fella gets killed by the Rougarou. That was all I had when I went into it, and it came from an idea. I used to have a little dog, and occasionally it would just jump up and run to the door and yap away at something that's outside the door. And of course, as writers working, say, well, what if there really is something outside the door? And
Yeah, and the
and
little
so
doggy
I got,
knows.
yeah, I had that first chapter, and that was all I had when I started the book. I didn't know where it was
Oh,
going to go. And I
wow.
most of the time I don't. I mean, I have an idea of what maybe it's going to go this way. But I started Voodoo Moon. Actually, I started Voodoo Moon 4 times.
Oh, wow.
And my editor said, it was kind of, I was like, well, I got started on it, but then Ed says it needs to do this. Or, this character say this needs to happen. So if I'm going to have that happen, I've got to change it all. Yeah, that one I did. Most of them weren't, the other ones weren't really that way. I kind of had a start for them. That one I was kind of, I mean, I had an idea for the general idea for the story that it was going to be, he's out to rescue his girlfriend. But like I said, I wrote the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 chapters of it 4 or 5 times. And then I ended up writing three endings before I settled on one.
Oh gosh. Well, you want to be pleased with it,
Yeah,
so.
well, that's the thing. But yeah, because I did that. I mean, I wrote Bayou Moon, then I wrote Blood Moon that came after that. And I was thinking, Blood Moon, I don't know. I don't, it's just not the story that Bayou Moon is. And then I got people, I was actually interviewing somebody who said, but that's the one we liked.
Oh, well,
They
there you
liked the
go.
second one. I said, yeah, everybody likes that second one. And okay, if you say so.
I'm not very far into it, so I'm gonna see if I like it more, but I really liked the first one. Well, it was very, very good talking to you. It took us forever to get here.
Yeah.
And where can people find your stuff?
You can find the best place to find my books is at houseofhonorbooks.com. That's my publisher, and I work with the publishing company too. But I also have my own website. If you look up jacklafountainauthor.com, all the books are on there. There are audio samples. Both sites have samples of the audio books, besides the print and the Kindle books. And then, of course, you can always find me on Facebook at Facebook. What is it? / author Jack LaFountain.
All right. I'll put all that in the notes so people can
Oh,
find
great!
it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I highly recommend your books to everybody. And it's been great talking to
Oh,
you.
great talking to you.
And if you want to come back again sometime, we'd be happy to have you on.
Oh, sure. I'd love to.
All right. Well, this is Ben Creeps with Peeps, and I'll see y'all later.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Subscribe and review our pod wherever you listen. We have merch on Redbubble and Big Cartels.